Good morning, everybody. Shmuel Plotzker coming at you live from the basement of my house. Today is Labor Day, so happy Labor Day to all. It is September 2nd and the year 24, and that means that Mendel's starting school tomorrow officially, and my daughter Sarah starts on Wednesday, and that means I'm going to be on the road, God willing, driving her back east after a tumultuous summer. Gotten some clarity. She's going to go back to her high school, and we found a nice place with friends to stay in Passaic, and so thank God for all that. I want to thank the Almighty for helping that out, making it happen. And without further ado, you've reached Introduction to Talmud 101. We're studying the tractate known as Tainus. We are on 4A, on the bottom of 4A, and we're at the two dots. We are three lines up from the very, very bottom on 4A. So really kind of chugging along over here, going a little bit faster than we were in Moed Katan, which was a little bit more involved at the very beginning. Here we're finding some interesting Agadata and some interesting Midrashim, so we're covering a little bit slight, you know, a little more ground, a little bit faster. I can't guarantee that throughout the Homo Sefta, but Titus is chock full of good stuff. So at all events, 4A on the bottom, remember what the Mishnah said. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's take a moment and review for a second. Here's what the Mishnah said. You remember that there was a disagreement, a machlokes, between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua as to when we begin to mention Mashiv Ruach Moreh Degeshem. Well, excuse me, when do we begin to mention, when do we say as a declaration, Mashiv Ruach, God makes the wind blow, He makes the rainfall? That comes into the Shemoneh Esrei during certain parts of the year. The question is, when do we start doing that? When do we begin mentioning this power of the Almighty, that He makes the wind blow, makes the rainfall? So Rabbi Eliezer said, you start doing it on the first day of Yontif, the first day of Sukkot. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, we mention Mashiv Baruch on the last day of the festival, on the last day, which is Shemini Atzeres. Then you got to skip a little bit, because there's a discussion between the two rabbis as to how to hash that out. And we've already seen that in the Mishnah. Now we're going to kind of skip those two or three lines of the Mishnah and get to another ruling in the Mishnah. And the Mishnah rules, Ein sho'alin es ha'geshamim, ela samach la'geshamim. We don't request rain except close to the rainy season. So let me just tell you that, you know, if you're going to just do this grammatically, we need to translate certain words. The Mishnah started off with Me'im asayim maskirin, geburas geshamim. From when do we begin to mention the powers of rain? The fact that God sends, you know, makes the wind blow, makes the rain fall. From when do we begin to mention that? It's a declaration of fact. When do we start saying it? Is it a plea? Is it a request? Not really. It is an acknowledgement that God makes the, you know, the wind blow and makes the rain fall. But is it a request for rain? Not really, because we're going to actually make a request for rain deeper into Shemoneh Esrei. In the bracha of Mevarech Hashanim, God, you're the one who blesses the years. Over there, we ask for the same bracha. May you give it, you know, in a blessing, or we say the same tal umatz on the bracha. Okay, and that's during the rainy season. You give tal and matar for blessing. Tal, dew, and matar, rain. So there are two, you know, insertions into the blessing, deeper into the Shemoneh Esrei, in the blessing of the years, where we either are asking for rain in abundance during the rainy season, we say the same Talamat al-Avracha, and please give dew and rain for blessing. That's the rainy season. That's going to start right after Shemini Atzeres, and it's going to go till the very end of Pesach, generally, that's how it is. And then the summer season, you just simply say the same bracha. May you give it to us in a blessing, as a blessing form. I mean, we don't elaborate on it. We're certainly not asking for rain during the summer season. Right now in Israel, nobody's asking for rain. Right now in the land of Israel, people are enjoying the sunshine, and the farmers are enjoying the sunshine. They're not looking for rain right now. They're just looking for sunshine right now. The rainy season will come, and they'll adapt, and they'll do what they got to do. But right now, it's the summer season. So you don't ask for rain in the summer season. That's how it is. So once again, in the beginning of the Mishnah, it said maskirin. The verb lahaskir means to cause to remember, because the verb laskor means to remember. Lahaskir, that's the hifyah, that's causative. You're causing something to be remembered. You're causing somebody to remember something. You're reminding him. You're mentioning it to him. And that's how we generally translate it into English. When do we mention something? When do we bring it up in discussion? When do we call, you want to be very technical? When do you cause something to remember? When do you make somebody remember something? But it means to mention it, to discuss it, to talk about it. Then you go into the Mishnah a couple of lines later, Ein Sho'alin, and this is really what we're looking at right now this morning. Ein Sho'alin is like a shaman, Ela Samach like a shaman. We don't request rain, because the verb over there is lish'ol, to ask for. A sho'el is somebody who asks for something. I sho'el she'elah, I'm asking a question. So we do not request rain, Ein Sho'alin es l'gashamim. We don't request rain, Ela Samach l'gashamim, except when it's close to the rainy season. And here, Art Scroll elaborates a little bit. We don't begin to mention Mashiach HaRuach until the last day of the festival, Shemini Atzeres, which immediately precedes the rainy season. Now you might say, wait a second, Shmuel, is that a good Art Scrollian translation or elaboration? We do not begin to mention the powers of rain, Mashiach HaRuach, until the last day of the festival. Isn't it true? Didn't you just say that we actually ask for rain deeper into the Shemini Atzeres in the blessing of the years when we say the same bracha or the same talamata of the bracha? May you give us dew and rain for blessing. That's when we really actually ask for rain. So which is it? I mean, the very beginning of the Mishnah is talking about mentioning Mashiach HaRuach, and then it seems as if the ruling that I just gave you, Ein Sho'alin, we don't request rain, except close to the rainy season, is also talking about Mashiach HaRuach. And the little preparation that I did last night, it doesn't seem to me clear that we're talking about Mashiach HaRuach in both instances. Let's get into the Gemara and we'll see what the Talmud has to say about this. I realize this is going to be a little bit of a slow slog. This is going to be a hold your head kind of a thing. This is not simple or easy. It's not an interesting little story, and therefore I apologize. But I don't know what to say. I mean, the Talmud is what it is, and we have to deal with it. Again, the beginning of the Mishnah said, when do we begin to mention Mashiach HaRuach? And then, halfway into the Mishnah, it says, we do not request rain except close to the rainy season. Let's see what's going on. Okay, I'm doing the best I can to lay a foundation over here. Again, Ein Sho'alin Esek Hashem, we do not request rain except close to the rainy season. Says the Talmud, Savruha She'ela V'Haskara Chada Milsahi. The rabbinical students thought, they assumed, that She'ela, that asking for something, a request, and Haskara, mentioning, Chada Milsahi, are one and the same thing. Which is to say, here's the Art Scroll explaining it, when the Mishnah says, we do not request rain except close to the rainy season, it actually refers to the mentioning of Mashiach HaRuach. So let's just get this little piece of Talmud straight. Let's see if we can understand it. According to the Talmud right now, 1,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, when the rabbinical students were studying, and they had, let's say, Rabbi Yehuda writes the Mishnah in the year 200. And they come across this written form, and it says, we do not request rain except close to the rainy season. The yeshiva students assumes that the request that we make, I think that the request that we make the request that we make and the mentioning are one and the same thing. That in the prayer, Mashiach HaRuach, Morid HaGeshem, they thought, the yeshiva students thought that it's all wrapped up in one, that both mentioning you make the wind blow and requesting rain. It's all wrapped up in that four-word declaration, Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem. You make the wind blow, you make the rain fall. Okay, and they therefore thought that all you got to do is say Mashiv HaRuach, and you've mentioned, you fulfilled the imperative to mention, excuse me, God's power, and you've also fulfilled the human Jewish requirement to ask for rain. It's all in that four-word declaration. That's what they thought. Again, the students assumed that requesting and mentioning are one and the same thing. That is to say, when the Mishnah says we do not request rain except close to the rainy season, it actually refers to the mentioning of Mashiv HaRuach U'morid HaGeshem. That statement says it all. It mentions the power of God, and it asks for rain. It has everything in it. That's what people thought. Now, the footnote maybe will be helpful to us. There's an authority, the Gevuras Ari. He explains the reason for that assumption, that everything is, you know, wrapped up in Mashiv HaRuach, both asking for rain and mentioning rain. And now, to think that everything is in that declaration might run counter, he says, to the regular usage of the term shoalim, because asking for rain, because we don't seem to be asking for rain in Mashiv HaRuach. All it says is a statement of fact. God sends, makes the wind blow. He makes the rain fall. There's no request there. So why would they assume that there is indeed a request over there when it's not like we're asking for it? We're just simply acknowledging God's, you know, all-powerful ability to make wind blow and make the rain fall. But there's no request built into those words. You have to admit that. I admit it. I mean, who am I? But I mean, I understand that there's no request over there. It's just a statement of fact. God has the ability. This is what he does. But we're not asking for rain over there. So if we're not asking for rain over there, why would these rabbinical students 2,000 years ago think that we are indeed actually asking for rain over there? But it's not in the language of the statement. There's no, oh, please send the rain. It doesn't say that. It simply says, God, you've got the ability to do this. So why are they assuming that everything is wrapped up in that four-word phrase? Why are they assuming there's a request over there? So let me just finish this footnote. He explains, the clauses of the Mishnah, which precede and follow this clause, specifically discuss mentioning, while the details of requesting are not discussed until later. On page 5, we're going to get there. The students therefore concluded that the term shoalim in our Mishnah is not used here in its usual sense. The students over here simply assumed that because the word shoalim, we ask, ein shoalim es hagashamim, and we translate, we don't request rain. But according to this footnote, the Mishnah, sections of the Mishnah which precede and follow the clause, this phrase, ein shoalim es hagashamim, we don't request rain, those clauses specifically discuss mentioning. True, the very beginning of the Mishnah does say that. When do we begin to mention powers of rain? But the details of requesting are not going to be discussed until later. So they therefore concluded that the term shoalim, which normally means we request, is not used over here in the usual way, and therefore they just assumed, right or wrong, they just assumed that when the Mishnah says ein shoalim, we don't request rain. Really what the Mishnah means is we do not mention rain. We don't discuss it. We don't, make these factual statements, a declaration of fact that God makes the wind blow, makes the rain fall. And we're supposed to therefore translate in the Mishnah, in Sholem, we don't request rain. We're supposed to maybe translate that as we do not declare. We don't mention. Because you're going to be discussing it later. Going to be discussing what? Requesting is going to be discussed later. So since that's the case, they just innocently assumed that the Mishnah means that we are mentioning God's power at the very beginning of the Mishnah and in the halfway of the Mishnah. That in both, Mazkirin or Shovelin, it's going to mean the same thing, mentioning, not requesting. That's their assumption. The Gemara now, Talmud continues. Now, based on that assumption, the Talmud is going to identify the Tana whose opinion is reflected in this ruling. Who's the Tana who teaches that teaching that Mazkirin and Shovelin mean the same thing, mentioning, you know, just discussing it? Who's the Tana? And this is typical Talmudicalism, trying to ascribe authority or authorship to an anonymous phrase in a Mishnah. Who wrote that? Who did that opinion jive with? Montana. Is that a state all the way out in the west, above Wyoming, west of South Dakota, Montana? Montana, who is the Tana of this statement that rain is not mentioned until close to the rainy season? Again, the assumption is that whether the Mishnah says Maskirin or Shoalin, mentioning or requesting, it means all the same exact thing. That's the assumption of the students. If the Mishnah is basically saying, of course you could ask, saying the same thing, so then why the repetition? How can they assume that? Don't we always make sure that we're trying to make sure there's no repetition? In our understanding of a Mishnah, we try to make sure there's no repetition, the same idea of five lines earlier. Why would there be repetition? Sheer redundancy, we allow for that? That's strange. But nobody seems to be asking that at the moment. Rather, the question is, who is the Tana of this statement that rain is not mentioned until close to the rainy season? That is, halfway through the Mishnah, we say, Ein Shoalin. I would translate it as, we do not request rain until the end of the rainy season, until close to the rainy season. But that's how they're translating it, because the students of yesteryear assumed it's all the same. Mentioning, asking, it's all the same, and we're going to translate it as mentioning, just discussing, making a statement. So who's the Tana who can agree with that understanding? Amar Rava. Rava said, Rabbi Yeshua he, it's Rabbi Yeshua. Dama Mishas Tanachasa. He's the one who said that we begin to mention rain from the time of Hanachaso. Hanacha is laying down. Lahaniach is to lay on. Like you're laniach tzilin. You lay tzilin on your arm. You're in this hifil, like it's causative. You're making something rest. You're making something nach. Okay? Nach is a resting state. Na is a moving state. So when Rabbi Yeshua says that you begin to mention rain, from the time that the lulav is placed down and put to rest, what is that? That's on the seventh day. On the seventh day of Sukkot, you do the rituals of the lulav and esrog and so on. In our setup in Chutzlars, you have Shoh Hashanah Rabbah, and then you go into Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. But in Israel, the last day is going to be, last day of Sukkot is going to be Hoshana Rabbah, if I understand correctly. And then you put down the Lulav and Esrog. You've already accomplished everything with the Lulav and Esrog, and therefore you put it down on the seventh and final day of Sukkot. Then comes the eighth day, and that's Shmini Atzeres. That's the eighth day holiday. The eighth counting from the beginning of Sukkot is the eighth day. It's a standalone holiday. You don't use Lulav and Esrog on Shmini Atzeres. So you put it down on the seventh day. Now the eighth day comes along, says Rabbi Yeshua, and now's the time to start praying for rain. Because now that you've accomplished what you needed to with the Lulav and Esrog, and you acknowledge God's greatness and beneficence by giving us rain, through showing the Lulav and Esrog, now we are beginning to ask for rain. Now we begin to pray for rain in earnest. And that's done on the eighth day, according to Rabbi Yeshua. It's Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi says it's Rabbi Yeshua who's of the opinion that rain is not mentioned until close to the rainy season. It's because he, in that same Mishnah, said that you don't start asking for rain until you put down Lulav and Esrog. And you put down Lulav and Esrog on day 7, and now on day 8, you ask for rain. Perfect. That is hand in glove. Okay, that is about as good as it's going to get. Rabbi Yeshua is the author of that, of this teaching, that you don't ask, well, we don't mention rain until, you know, close to the rainy season. And that is, of course, Shmini Atzeres. We don't want any rain during Sukkot. We don't want either on Shmini Atzeres, but we want it the day after Shmini Atzeres, so while everybody's in shul, on the last day of the holiday season, and there's Yisker, and there's Kriyas HaTorah, and the Hallel, the speech, and you pray for rain. Pray for Geshem. So you should have a successful rainy season. You do that on Shmini Atzeres. This is perfect. Rabbi Yeshua, that makes all the sense in the world. It's Rabbi Yeshua who said that we begin to mention rain from the time the lulav is put down. Because the lulav is used for the last time on the 7th day of Sukkot, and therefore you pray for rain on the 8th day. Excellent. There's so much more, like, you know, so much more depth in the footnotes. You know what? We're going to have to streamline this a little bit. Let's just do Talmud 101. Let's just keep our head in the give and take. Even that's valuable. But how about this? A different explanation of that Mishnaic clause. Amalei Abaya. Abaya said to Rava, Afilu Tema Rabbi Eliezer. The truth of the matter is, you can even argue Rabbi Eliezer is the author of that teaching in the Mishnah, which said, what did it say? It said that we don't ask for rain, we don't mention rain until the beginning of the rainy season. We don't request rain except close to the rainy season. Says Abaya to Rava, you think it's Rabbi Yeshua? I don't know about that. I'm not so convinced. Could even be his opponent. You're going, what? How could that be? Rabbi Eliezer was the one who said that we start saying stuff on day 1, right? Rabbi Eliezer said, when do we begin mentioning Mashiach Baruch? Rabbi Eliezer says, on the first day of the, on day 1 of Sukkot, you start mentioning it. Day 1. Rabbi Yeshua says, how can you do it on day 1? Who wants rain on day 1? He says, I don't want rain on day 1. I'm just saying that God's got power. That's all I'm saying. It's just a declaration of fact. He says, oh, I get you. I understand. But if you actually feel like that, then you should probably be saying this every day of the year, not just during 6 months of the year. It's true that God has the power to send wind and rain, and he does. So then say that every day of the year. Since you agree you're not asking for rain, you're merely making a declaration. So declare it all day long, every day. That was the rejoinder that Rabbi Yeshua had given Rabbi Eliezer. Even in the summertime, mention it. Why not? What do you got to lose? You're not asking for rain. In your opinion, you're not asking for rain. Just simply mentioning it, God's powerful. So tell us, say to God, you're powerful every day of the year. You make the wind blow. You make the rain fall. Well, obviously, you do that when you want to, and during the rainy season, God, that's when you do it. But Rabbi Eliezer, you know, if you're not asking for rain, so then mention God's power every day. And there doesn't seem, in the Mishnah, there's no rejoinder to that. I think we saw it in the Gemara that there was a further discussion about it. Those was engaging in conversation with Yeshua. But that's not for now. That's for review time. Hate to say it. Otherwise, we'd be reviewing every single day. We'd never get anywhere. Abaya says to Rava, I'm of the opinion, unlike you, Rava, who holds Rabbi Yeshua as the author, which makes some sense for sure. But I say you could even argue it's Rabbi Eliezer who's saying that you should make this declaration at the end of this, of the holiday, right at the, you know, right before the rainy season begins. It could even be Rabbi Eliezer. And of course, we're all thinking, how could it be? Rabbi Eliezer wants us to say that in the beginning, on day 1 of Sukkot. Day 1 of Sukkot is not, you know, day 8 of Shmini Atzeres. They're not equal. But let's see what Abaya says. Afilu Tema Rabbi Eliezer. He says, I think you can even argue that Rabbi Eliezer is the author of that clause, of that phrase in the Mishnah, that we do not, you know, mention, we don't, or ask, depends on how you translate, that we don't declare / request rain, el samach l'gashamim, except close to the rainy season. I think Rabbi Eliezer could be the one who teaches that. She'ela l'chud v'askara l'chud. You know why I say that? Simple. Because she'ela l'chud, because asking for something is one thing. V'askara l'chud, and mentioning, is another thing. Here's the footnote. When the Mishnah says, and it says, quote, we do not request rain except close to the rainy season, it refers to the request for rain. What is that? That's the same Talamat of Bracha. That's halfway into the Shemoneh Esrei. That's like seven brachas, eight brachas into Shemoneh Esrei. You're deep into the weeds now. And you're asking God to bless this year like every other great year. Remember that? You know that bracha? We always say it. Three times a day we say it. You have to know it. And in that bracha, there's a choice, as we mentioned 5 minutes ago. It's either the same bracha or the same talamot of a bracha. Again, the same bracha, you say that in the summertime. Right now we're saying it. May you send for a blessing. And we don't ask for rain. We just simply say, give us a blessing. Because nobody in his right mind in Israel in the summertime is asking for rain. So all you're doing over there is you're very, very powerful acknowledging that God, you know, gives rain, and you say, oh, send for a blessing. But heaven forbid, you don't want rain to fall in June, in July, in Israel. You want the sun to bake the vegetation. And then hopefully the crops will grow. So in Israel, during the 6 months of summertime, which is what we're in right now, if you'd be in Israel, you'd know it's nice and warm and sunny and beautiful virtually every single day for 6 months. I mean, that is how it is. So you don't ask for rain during that time, and you shouldn't. When do you ask for rain? Oh, that's like when the rainy season begins. And then in that bracha, halfway through Shemoneh Esrei, in the Mevorach Hashanim, the blessing of the year, you say in the rainy season, the same Tal Umatar Lebracha. Give dew and rain for a blessing. There you explicitly ask for rain. So Abaya says to Rava, I think Rabbi Elazar could still be the author of that clause in the Mishnah. You know why? Because in the beginning of the Mishnah, it's one thing. It says, Memasai Maskirin. When do we begin to mention the powers of rain? Masha Baruch. Oh, so Rabbi Elazar, the day one of Sukkot. And I'm not asking for rain. I'm just simply saying that God is all-powerful. And he has the ability, and he always does. He sends whenever he wants. He sends makes the wind blow, makes the rain fall. That's God's greatness. That's God's power. Wonderful. Says Abaya. And Rabbi Elazar could theoretically also be the teacher, the author, of the later phrase in the Mishnah, halfway into the Mishnah, which says, we don't request rain except close to the rainy season. That could also be Rabbi Eliezer, even though it's a little bit in your mind, it doesn't sound right, because he's the one who says, start saying stuff on day one, which is Sukkot. But Abai is making it clear that they're two very different things. We start off the lecture by saying that the students back in the day, they thought they were both exactly the same. They assumed that in the Mishnah, when it said, Memasai Maskirin, when do we begin mentioning? And later on, halfway into the Mishnah, Ein Sholin, it's like a Sherman, we don't request rain. They thought it was all the same thing. They thought the Mishnah was just parroting itself, repeating itself, a little redundancy there. Maskirin, Sholin, mentioning, asking, it's all the same thing. And Rabbi Yoshua teaches that, according to Rava. Comes along Abaya, Rava's, you know, a colleague, and says, wait a second, not so fast. Do you realize Rabbi Eliezer could also be the author of that very clause? Well, we don't request rain until it's close to the rainy season. You realize that he could be the teacher of that? You know why? Because he reads the Mishnah normally, in a sensible fashion. Because he understands the beginning of the Mishnah, Me'emasei Maskirin, from when do we begin mentioning Mashiv Ruach? That is one thing, where you mention Mashiv Ruach, and he says you should do that on day one, because it's a praise of God. And he could also be the author of this phraseology and the phrase in the Mishnah, where it says we don't request rain because mentioning is one thing and requesting is something else. And he could be the one who agrees. And you're talking right. We should only request rain close to the rainy season. You know why? Because even I agree, Rabbi Elazar would say. Even I, Rabbi Elazar, would agree. I don't want to sit in a rainy sukkah. I'm not asking for rain on day one of sukkahs. I'm asking for rain on Shmini Atzeres, on the last day of the holiday. Because I'm no fool. I also want to fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva sukkah, sitting and living in the sukkah, like any other Jew wants to do. I don't want to do that in the rain. If the rain comes along, I can't bear the rain getting drenched. I can't do the mitzvah. So Rabbi Elazar would say, I don't want rain on day one. I don't want to see rain anytime during sukkahs. Ah, but don't you tell us you should be saying Masha Baruch on day one? Yes, I do teach that, Rabbi Elazar would say. But it's merely a declaration of fact. I'm simply telling you that God's got power. I'm not asking for rain. When I say Masha Baruch, you make the wind blow. I'm simply saying, God, you are all powerful. And you know when I ask for God to send rain? Halfway into the Shemoneh Esrei. That's when I want you to start asking for rain. The same Tal Lomachal Avracha. Give the dew and the rain for a blessing. That's when I want you to ask for it. So in the Mishnah, the beginning line in the Mishnah, when do we begin mentioning powers of rain? That's one thing to deal with. When do you begin saying Masha Baruch? And then halfway into the Mishnah it says, Ein Sholes HaGeshamim, we don't request rain. Where do you do that? Halfway into Shemoneh Esrei, says Rabbi Elazar, that's a different thing. That's an actual full-blown request for rain. So Abaya, in my mind, is the same good. That it theoretically could also be Rabbi Eliezer. It's not necessarily Rabbi Yoshua. This footnote, when the Mishnah says we don't request rain except close to the rainy season, it refers to the request for rain of the same Talmud and Avracha. Although Rabbi Eliezer rules that we begin to mention rain on day one of Sukkot with Masha Baruch, he concedes that we don't request rain until later. This is perfect. It's also perfect. It's also a perfectly good, legitimate reading. It could be Rabbi Yeshua according to Rabbi. It could be Rabbi Eliezer according to Abaye. Either one could be the author of that phrase in the Mishnah that we're dealing with. Ein Sholin is like a Shemim. We do not request rain except close to the rainy season. Either rabbi of our Mishnah could be the author of that statement. Continues. Now there's going to be a slightly different version. Gemara wants to bring it down, just for authenticity's sake. The Ika D'Amri, there are those who report the following version as follows. This is how it's supposed to read, according to some. Lema, are we to say, Rabbi Yeshua, that the Tana of that phrase is Rabbi Yeshua? Dama Mishas HaNachasa, who had said that the mentioning of rain begins from the time the lulav is put down. Amar Rava, now here it's amazing. Now we're going to attribute this not to Abaya, rather, but to Rava. Amar Rava filo tema Rabbi Eliezer. In this other version, in this alternate universe, if you're a DC Comics fan, you've got the alternate universe. Where I don't really know what goes on, frankly, because I'm not a DC guy, but I think that Superman can live in both universes, this universe and the alternative universe. I don't know what that's all about. But we have like an alternative universe Bryce over here, where instead of a bias saying this, we got Rava saying it. Go figure. I'm a Rava. In this understanding, in the transmission that this came down, it's Rava arguing that it could be Rabbi Eliezer. I'm a Rava filotema Rabbi Eliezer. Rava said, you may even say that the clause follows the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. What? Rava said that the clause follows Rabbi Yeshua in the first understanding, in the first transmission, in the first, you know, Masora transmission. Now we have that same Rava, and he's saying it actually could be Rabbi Eliezer, because asking is one thing and the mentioning is something else. So as long as you know that there are these two alternative competing ways to understand. One, we have Abaya arguing that, and one, we have Rava arguing that. That Rabbi Eliezer could be the man, saying that the Mishnah is talking about two different things. And therefore, there is no redundancy, which is what I was afraid of. When the yeshiva students think it's all the same thing, like, what do you mean? Isn't that redundant? Comes along this other understanding, either Abaya or Rava says it, and these Amoraim say, no, it also could be Rabbi Eliezer. Because Rabbi Eliezer understands them as two separate and distinct things. One's a request and one's a declaration of fact. And now I feel better because now there's no redundancy. And over here is a great place to stop. Because not just time-wise, but also because we're now going to go into a different sugya in total. There's no way to do this properly right now. So we do one little piece of sugya at a time, and now we're on 4B, on the third line, fourth line, at the two dots. So we're slowly but surely biting off pieces of the Talmud. God willing, on Wednesday, wherever I am, we'll stop off and we'll give the class. It's a very long, it looks like it's a long little sugya over here. And so we're going to try to do whatever we can, as much as we're going. Okay, the Mishnah. I'm not sure if we can. No, we won't be able to do this in one sitting. But we'll do what we can, for sure. So thank you so much, everybody, for coming out. If God's help, I'm going to be on the road. And if I'm on the road, we're going to stop at 1 o'clock for the book club. We'll do a slightly truncated book club class. I got to get to Baltimore tonight and then to Passaic, New Jersey tomorrow. Then I got to retrace my steps. Hey, it's not so simple. So there's a lot of driving going on. But with God's help, we'll do it. Please stay with us. I hope to be home and give the class live, the Tanakh class live, tomorrow. In the event that I can't, I'll let everybody know. And with God's help, we'll just, you know, I'll call it in and we'll have the class on the road. Okay, with God's help, we'll do everything that we're trying to do. Try to work my schedule around it. Join us at 1 o'clock for the book club. Thank you so much for coming out today. Take care and be well. See you at 1 o'clock for book club. All the best. Bye-bye.